That's Nat Adderley on cornet, taking the lead on King Curtis's Da Da Da. Yes, that's the name of the song, Da Da Da. It's from Curtis's 1960 album, The New Scene of King Curtis, where we hear Curtis on tenor sax, Wynton Kelly on keys, Paul Chambers on bass, and Oliver Jackson on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we are actually picking up from where we left off yesterday. I got a bunch of emails indicating that people were interested in participating, but of course, time was not on our side yesterday. And so, because I absolutely believe in leaving room, giving as much room as possible for people to participate in the program. So we'll extend yesterday's conversation about chaos and crisis, American democracy in the age of Trump. Yesterday we talked about the fact that Donald Trump came into office vowing to change things dramatically. And in making these changes, he's now in his second quarter of office and of his first year in office. We see that it's a terrifying experience so far, engendering all kinds of reactions, most of them having to do with anxiety, uncertainty, chaos. We have just one crisis after another. It seems as if this administration came into office so comfortable with the prospect of chaos. And in my mind, this is just Donald Trump's standard approach to leadership. You know, everybody's off balance. Everybody is running around, ruled by a kind of innate fear as to what will happen next. And I think he gets a sick satisfaction of ruling this way, leading this way, this technique of his. One could say that this is a way of keeping people on edge all the time, is a perverse sense of satisfaction. But on the other hand, in my view, it hints at some deep-seated issues with his mental health. This is the way he has operated, it seems, operated his business. But I don't think it would be, if we were to dig deep, a little bit deeper, I don't think we would be too surprised to find that this is the way he grew up. The kind of tyrannical environment at home where he was expected to do things in a particular way and grew up with that as the model. This is how you run things. You keep people on edge. You keep them panicking in a constant state of panic. The leader is out of control, clearly. The leader is himself dealing with issues and has been, apparently. I think if you were to look at the business enterprises that he has operated over the years, at the top leadership, you will find probably the same dynamic. Nobody knows if they, when they leave work on a Monday and they go home, it's not sure that they will enjoy another day's work on Tuesday. This is a tactic that many people in leadership adopt, but he seems to have been quite accustomed to operating this way. Unfortunately, there is great difficulty, it seems, for him making the transition from whatever it is he did in his private businesses. This is a different ballgame, but he doesn't seem to understand that, and he doesn't seem really interested in making adjustments to how you operate. And it doesn't seem that there are people around him either smart enough or brave enough to bring to his attention that he's causing a lot of havoc, not only in the United States, not just for Americans, but all over the world. He's creating, wherever he goes, there is this trail, this odor of Donald Trump, who seems to be out of control. But being out of control is normal to him. So I see now even medical professionals, psychiatric professionals, now becoming openly concerned about the president's conduct, which is not at all helpful to the process of governing, and especially coming after a series of presidents who, even with their problems, the problems of governing the country, they at least have operated within the parameters of what we consider to be responsible leadership. They made serious attempts at it. And they had people around them who, if they were going off course, you know, were in a position to pull their coattails and let them know that a change in attitude, a change in approach will do a lot more to have people feel receptive to your ideas than this business of running around like a dictator and, you know, imposing your will, whether it is within the law or not. So we've seen, I mean, it's just 6 months. And we have had any number of crises, and most of them were quite avoidable. Most of them he brought on himself and the country. And he intends to continue this way. And there seems to be no one able to, you know, take him aside and say, you know, this is not the way to go. You're really, really cutting off your nose to spite your face. And it's showing. The polls are indicating the president is now operating at a major deficit in terms of public confidence. That's not surprising. I mean, you don't have to be an expert to see that many of the things that he has done are coming from a place of vengeance and punishment, exacting punishment, and in fact, a very disturbing pattern of convincing himself and therefore the nation that he's right. He not only is right, this is why he needs to be in office and why we need to support him in office, because he knows what he's doing. And he's right. It's the same thing in his personal life, his professional life. It's the same story. So, as we discussed yesterday, how are we supposed to cope with a president like this who constantly operates at a deficit, has no idea how to... I mean, when you go into an international arena and you're pushing and shoving other world leaders out of your way because you want to get to the front of the line to be absolutely sure that you are in the picture, the group picture. You know, when you're behaving in this way, it is time for people to say, this guy needs some serious treatment. There's something wrong with him. I said that from the very beginning. There is something wrong with this guy. And since no one seems to be able to encourage him to operate differently, it is therefore, to be assumed that we are supposed to accept this way of operating as standard procedure. And nobody is saying a word that it's time to have this man examined, because, I mean, he just sets fire to everything. He's just, and doesn't care about the implications. He's irresponsible. He has poor judgment. And there's this extraordinary sense of entitlement and self-conviction that he is the very best of the best. I mean, it should have been embarrassing for his cabinet members to gather, as he ordered them to gather around a long table, invite the cameras in this room where they are surrounding him, and like little children, pathetic people who are supposed to be in a position of leadership, the sole purpose of the event was that they can publicly sing his praises, not to report what they've been doing, but to sing his praises, to be props in this sick, bizarre event where one by one they tell the president, i.e. the cameras that are in the room, how blessed they are. That was a word that was used. We're blessed to be with you. And we hereby pledge our faith and loyalty to you. You know how crazy that was yesterday to see that? All these grown women and men who supposedly have a working brain in their heads, humiliating themselves this way and humiliating their offices, humiliating the people this way, performing this a disgusting ritual. Well, of course, if you're a member of cabinet, it is to be assumed that you have some kind of skill in the area you're assigned. What is the need for this president to sit there lording over them and watching them like clowns somersaulting before him, pledging their troth? Well, of course we know why. You know, he's in the midst and he has caused so many crises between January and now. He has made such a mess of things. His administration is so hobbled by incessant chaos that finally it might be coming home to him, because he's a guy who likes polls, and he sees that dissatisfaction with him and his administration is now reaching the 60 percentile. The last one I saw was 67% really having a problem with this president. And they don't like him. They don't like his administration. I know that bothers him more than anything else. But we have to, apart from all of this, we have to do one thing, and it is vital that we understand it. We have to look at this from a distance. We have to take the attitude that this is the swamp people dealing with their thing the way they know how, the way they're accustomed to operating. Cutthroat. I mean, Trump will carve you up he would be best friends with some of these people, and they think they're safe, and they put their history on the line, whatever it might be. They put their history on the line for Trump. And in a second, he'll slit their throats and watch them bleed to death. And he'll take extra pleasure in showing the world how cruel and indecisive he can be. He's a man of vengeance. And he believes himself to be appointed by a higher power to lead this nation of saps and idiots out of the darkness into the light of Trump. So yes, I said early in the game, something is wrong with this man. And it ought to be looked at real, real soon. Because in the end, we would have no one else to blame for giving him permission to be mad. So our attitude should be to stand off and stand back a bit and recognize what is going on for what it is. This is not something we, ordinary people, we can do much about. The people who could do something have taken flight on the matter. They're not touching this thing with a 10-foot pole. Even though the downside is potentially so devastating, when you have somebody who's not wrapped too tight making critical issues about war and how this country as a whole, where it goes, all he sees is how can he further the discord and the crises that we are confronting? How can he make it even more pronounced, make these things more pronounced? And in so doing, this is how he flexes his muscles and shows his power, by creating crises. Not solving problems, but creating crises and creating chaos in all our lives. So we have a choice to make. Do we kind of stick it out going along with the program, or do we see now more than ever how important it is to safeguard ourselves? That's a dilemma. For me, it's not a dilemma at all. To me, the most important thing to do right now is to save yourself. And in order to save yourself, you have to read the situation for what it is. These are people who have no trouble for the sake of having power and authority and status. The trade they make is that they could live with the chaos and even play a role in advancing it, the chaos and the crises. Because that, even when things go badly, they will thrive. They are in a system that rewards this kind of craziness. The thing that they are worried about is whether they are safe from day to day within that dog-eat-dog crazy world. But other than that, many of them have already reasoned that they have access to power, or they have actual power. They're making very good salaries, and they have a lot of perks. So they can stick it out. They can stick with the madness for a little while, maybe 4 years, and they're done if they don't get fired beforehand. Today, of course, we have Jeff Sessions, and the story, all eyes are fixed on this independent counsel who was praised by Trump just a couple of weeks ago as the perfect choice, the right guy, the person who will do the right thing and take on the task of conducting this inquiry in a fair and equitable manner. Well, today, he is, Director Mullen is now watching every second of the day to see if he could survive it. Rumors started flying around that the axe will fall on him. This all suggests a very strange temperament. This is not the way leaders behave, where you cut up and carve up your people in front of the world. You talk badly about them. You destroy them. You destroy the possibility that they could even have another life beyond you. And it becomes a spectacle. It's like the old Roman empires where, hey, you don't know whether physically you're surviving from one minute to another. This is a sick president. His administration is infected with his sickness. And we, the people, better get to the task of protecting ourselves against a madman. How do we do that? We understand and we acknowledge that this is a sick, sick, sick administration headed by a man who has some serious issues and who cannot and does not have, apparently, does not have the confidence of really capable people who are brave enough to confront him and say, listen, you're not doing the right thing. I believe his family knows that there's something wrong, especially his daughter, who is in Washington, or she had been in Washington, chiefly to function as his babysitter, to help keep him stable, because you can see that Donald Trump cannot function in an environment where he's alone. He trusts no one. He has very few friends. In fact, I haven't seen a photograph, have you, of Donald Trump hanging out with friends and having a good time. That's not him. He's busy planning every single minute of his rule, you know. And with that goes suspicion of everybody and how he's going to cut everybody down so he'll be the last man standing. And it is, of course, so bizarre, because the point of leadership, especially of a nation this powerful, is not to fracture things, but to bring them together. Not to cut up people, but to find ways to use their talents and skills to the best advantage of the country. Not to be 100% insecure, but to try to identify and surround yourself with people who know what they're doing. They have your interest at heart. They have the country's interest at heart. So if you find that this is what we have as a leader, and it's not going to get better, you're going to have to brace yourself, because crazy things can happen at any time. And the way these things work is that they will not direct the fallout. The fallout doesn't, land on them. It's people like you and me. We are targeted. And we were targeted before he even formally was inaugurated. We were targeted. So you could know now that he actually is in the seat of power, it would only get worse. He will take all kinds of measures and initiatives and enact policies in which victory will depend on the degree to which he squeezes us. We can't sit around and let it happen. We have to find ways to survive. That's the number one imperative, to survive this maniac and his maniacal administration. We have to find alternative ways of operating so that if we do have to put up with Donald Trump for 4 years, because we have no defenses, we have very, very little hope of serious, credible defenses in the institutional sense. You see what has happened in the Democratic Party, independent movements. They are in a whole different world altogether. They have taken leave of their senses as well. So we are an unprotected group. And there is no point, in my view, to feeling comfortable about the idea that any of these institutions, as they exist right now, would be effective at defending our interests. The Democratic Party, in fact, even Sister Hillary Clinton was talking the other day that the party didn't really support her. Now, if you understand how profound that was, you know, here's a person who literally sucked up all of the oxygen and all of the resources of the party to sustain herself. And she is upset. She is mad. The party hasn't done enough. Imagine how we are feeling. We have very few, if any, and I would say, you know, we have practically none in the way of collective defenses right now. And if we do have them, by some miracle, it would be because we have gone back to the very beginning to create something. And that will take time, which means no matter how you look at it, we have lost momentum, we have lost clout, we have lost power and influence in those circles of power where it is imperative that we have critical mass in order to get anything done. We don't have that. So I don't see why it makes sense to now put 100% of your faith in a collapsed system, which is also very corrupt. The picture doesn't look good. But you can, to a great degree, depend on yourself. You can fashion something of a response, some kind of protection. You can do that, though in limited fashion, but you could do it. You have to look to yourself and look out for yourself. And in some cases, you could make some moves to extending that path, that way of operating. But we can't carry the load. It's clear. We don't have what it takes to engage in battle with the system right now. We don't have it. So there's no point in being whimsical about it and being, you know, it's like your brain shut down, and you're not being logical. You're not paying attention to what's in front of you. What's in front of us is that we have, for this period, in the immediate future, we have to be self-concerned, self-reliant. And to the extent that we are able or capable of extending that philosophy and moving in concert with others, fine. But that too, if it does happen, it will take away from the concentration that we need in taking care of our individual defenses, building our individual defenses. This whole system, because we believed in it, despite what we saw, despite what we learned, we put all our chips, all our political chips in one basket. And they are corrupt. They are unsalvageable at this point. And there's no reason to attach ourselves to a so-called alternative system that is just as bad, if not even worse, than what we are fighting against, or supposedly fighting against. You can depend on you. And the immediate task, and don't lose sight of it, is your survival. That's where I think most of us are. We don't have the luxury, because we've been devastated. We've been let down. We've been betrayed. The whole thing has to go. But that isn't even our issue, whether it goes or stays right now. The issue is to become completely focused on what you and I have to do to survive. Because whether it's Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians or the Socialists, it doesn't matter. They've lost their minds. They're out of touch. They're out of energy. And they're not talking to us. So believe them. Believe what they're saying to us. And we can't afford misadventures, not at this point. We can't afford repeated misadventures. We have to take some kind of, we have to look at the tally and see how it has been operating, whether in our interests or against us. I say there's more than enough evidence to suggest that whatever system could have been helpful to us is not. There's no need at this point to waste even more time on that subject. Assume that that's the problem. We've given these systems the benefit of time and the benefit of doubt. And they can't. They haven't been able to protect us and our interests. So just part ways. It might change. You know, this might change maybe in another 10 years or so. But until then, don't waste your time with a system that produces repeated failures. Build your protection yourself. Save some money. Get really focused on what it is you need to accomplish. help people along the way if you have the extra strength and resources to do so. But concentrate on rebuilding your base, your immediate base yourself. That's your family and people close to you. Get off the political grid, as it were, and see the system for what it is and develop a way to fight against it. And in so doing, the number one imperative is survival. Okay, I've said what I have had to say, and we'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. We'll be back right shortly. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. We are doing some self-assessment, especially in the last two programs. We have been encouraged, or I'm encouraging you, to reevaluate the moment we're in, because it is teaching us something. Are we paying attention? What is, on an individual basis, what is the alternative that you're building that would at least put you farther along the road than any of these systems has so far? And that is the question. How are you bracing yourself to be immune, if you will, at least to the extent that you can, to these vagaries that are now occupying much of the United States and even the world? And people don't understand that this period that we are in is actually a reflection of the illness that's in America. People obsessed with power, and more so obsessed with controlling others. They're not equipped, they're not educated, they're not smart enough, they're not competent enough, they're not experienced enough to take on the task. But yet, because of the peculiar arrangements in our society, they are permitted to do so. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees, how you doing?
Okay, how about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. A little bit hot. It's hot in here. In New York City.
it is hot here, too.
Okay. You're talking about chaos, and you just said it. This chaos has been taken or brought in around the world. And one of those perfect examples is the island of Puerto Rico. And you see what is being done. It's an exodus of these people, because there is a plan for islands that the islands of color. And this is one thing that all of us should remember. And you said yesterday that they don't care about us, and you're right. And what should we should be doing? For me, personally, for my family, I tell everyone, please don't have credit cards with a balance. Not to eliminate credit cards, but try to maintain a zero balance on those credit cards. Also, to have enough money that you could survive for at least 6 months on your rent, if you are paying rent or your mortgage. There is a few things that we could do. Right here in New York City right now, tomorrow there's going to be an occupation. They're calling it Cuomoville. you see what is happening nationwide here through the chaos president. We have all the things that are local that we can vision ourselves to put so much weight on what he's doing, because we have local issues that is affecting us. This homeless group are going to be in front of Cuomo's office, I believe, until Saturday or Sunday, occupying the space. And how do you think
Cuomo you were referring to as the governor of the state of New York?
Yes, that's right. The governor. So, and it's not only him. Look what de Blasio is doing with this gentrification. And this is something that we are so absorbed in these local issues, in getting people out of the city, and these people becoming homeless, family, that a lot of time you can't even transport yourself to see what this president is doing. And also, it's a form of entertainment. Look, today at 2 o'clock or 2:30, whatever it is, this other man's going to be interviewed. And it's a form of entertainment that we don't see what are they doing with the other things that is coming our way. So every time that you talk about this, the chaos, it's around the world. It's about austerity. It's about taking the treasure of each country. Look what they did in Greece. It's selling out these assets for the few to get it. And for the few, and like you said before, we people of color, we don't count. That is why you saw him sitting on that cabinet. And who are they? All these supremacists. That's what he has. So we should not be surprised. And every time you say that he's sick, a man who goes on TV saying that he wants to go out with his daughter, it has to be sick. It's more than sick. And that's what he has to say today. I have to say today.
Thank you, Ali, for your thoughts. 888-874-4888. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm hanging in. How about you?
I'm hanging in. I'm listening to thunder and getting ready for the rain that's coming down every day over here. It's good for the plants and good for our spirit, I guess. I was glad Ali was bringing up the point she's bringing up, you know, because I remember back in the 90s we had a mayor in New York named Rudy Giuliani who sent tanks off in the streets. I mean, if that ain't crazy, what's crazy? I mean, I'm sure Donald Trump will come up with something as good as that eventually, but, you know, I don't think he's any crazier than anybody else. And this is nothing new. This has been going on for 2,000 years. When they all yelled out Barabbas, Hillary was there in the crowd handing out gold coins to all those who yell out Barabbas. But we can rejoice that we, after 2,000 years, have not been corrupted by the devil. And we speak out about him, and we expose him for what he is. And all
but
these
the point,
people,
the point
I feel
I'm
sorry
making, though,
for Donald
is
Trump.
That the point I'm making
sorry?
Is to encourage people in a very conscious way to develop their own defenses against the political attacks directed at us, to develop your own system of survival, because that's the thing that they actually is number one on their list, to make you suffer and to make it impossible for you to have a decent life. And we have to become real about what our current situation is and what is likely to be for the next several years. We have to move in a different way with the benefit of this analysis and information that we use for ourselves. And that's all I'm trying to say. Forget this whole idea that you're part of this. You're not a part of it, except as a victim. You're not a part of these things. Those in power have the capacity to enact that would affect your life. And it's very rare that when these things are done, that they are designed to affect your life in a positive way. So we got to get really obsessed about our interests for a short time and get our footing. We have to do that. What do you think?
Well, I have to disagree a little bit because I feel we're part of this world. Somehow we have to get along in this world that we're, you know, most of the people are all for this kind of system because they're afraid, they're in fear, and they need a government to protect them. And all these things that are going on, they feel it's good because they're protected. They don't mind waiting 3 hours at the airport as long as it's good security and everybody's safe. And, you know, it's very difficult to try to get people to be aware of how to protect themselves from a kind of system like that's going on here. I mean, just in your nutrition alone, people are totally in the dark about the diet they should be eating. And it's very important because if you're not eating right, then you're not going to be thinking right to be able to think your way out of things, and you won't be able to see what's going on here is just an illusion. I mean, I'm sure we don't spend our days watching the World Wrestling Federation all day long, but that's exactly what's going on here in this political thing. It's all just a distraction to keep us busy. It makes lots of money.
Yes, but the point I'm making is I think we both agree here. In this process of re-examining our political lives, our economic lives, and so forth, we would then get an idea of what's important and what is not. So a person would probably look twice at this notion, as you just mentioned, about the World Wrestling Federation. Well, you can't, if you really understand what's happening with you, you can't watch the World Wrestling Federation all day when you have new priorities that require you to use your time differently. So this is the hope, but it starts somewhere. You know, you have to develop some means of re-examining things and reprioritizing things specifically with your benefit in mind. And then hopefully along the way, we would have a congealing of people with like minds coming together, but with a specific purpose. We've wasted way too much time already. We've over-invested in systems that have betrayed us and that have offered us very little in return. So my hope is that we at least begin the process of rethinking our own actions and what we invest and what we gain from that investment. Thanks so much, Eve, for your call. Chris from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Yes, yes. Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello. How are you?
Everybody. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I wanted to call in and say my two words because I think it's important what you're describing about survival and self-preservation at this point. Because look at me, I'm 35, with $40,000 debt from a bachelor's degree, making $15 an hour, right? With two kids and my wife. We can't afford even to move out and make our lives. We're staying with in-laws and things like that. So for people like that's in that situation, that it's a whole bunch of people, it's imperative that we focus on how to maneuver in this system in the best way possible to ensure our survival and then to give the promise to our kids to have a better life than what we're in. Because we are invested in the system, born and raised in New York and everything like that, right? Going to school, you go to school and get a good job, and then when it comes to find out, it's these student loans is like has a big shackle on us that we can't even make any moves. So I've been always following up on what's going on in the world and in politics and trying to get involved, and I feel still stuck.
We don't have the luxury of feeling sick. If you could just place yourself back a few years, you'll find that your parents, they just reached a point where their only focus was what was going to happen to their children.
Right.
That was the only thing that mattered to them. Everything, no new clothes, no new car. They were interested in securing the welfare and well-being of their children. That's
right.
Survival. You just mentioned that you inherited that streak as well, that you are concerned about your family. You're concerned about the investment you have already made in the system, and you're concerned about the fact that it hasn't delivered the promises. So I would say today, starting today, you start looking at ways in which you separate yourself from systems that no longer work.
Yeah.
And come up with something that works to your advantage, that sees to your survival, that protects your family and you. That's where we start. If in another couple of years you're able to, share some of that with others, that's fine. But we're all in crisis, I would say, myself included. We are all in crisis, but we're not acting like we're in crisis. We're acting like we have all the time in the world. And we're going along for the ride. No.
Right.
We have to change our attitudes and be conscious of these decisions that we're making, specifically with respect to our interest.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that it's really important, because we talk about so much on retreats lead and everything that's going on. But individually, sometimes you do take the time and talk about things like this. Like, what are you doing for you? And how are you going to move and beyond everything that's happening? And I get stuck, and I feel stuck, because that's where a lot of this generation is, feeling stuck. But, man, that's what I wanted to say. Thank you so much. Big hug to you, and a shout-out to everybody listening to PRN and UChase Lee Stories.
I thank you so much for that, Chris. It encourages me. And that's what I hope that we can do for each other, is to encourage each other.
Yeah.
We do not need to fall into despair, because we have something that we can do to better our chances. And first, it requires us to examine the system, where we are, why we are even in the system, how we can break free, or if we decide to be part of it, to what degree are we going to extend ourselves to it? And how are we going to go on with life? And don't make the system's priorities your priorities. They're two different things.
Right. Yes,
your priority is to survive, to provide for yourself and your family. And if a system helps you do that, great. But if it doesn't, you got to move out and find something else that works.
Definitely.
Thanks so much, Chris. Great to hear from you. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I hope we can begin this work, because this is really serious political work that we must do. And the good thing is that we will be the beneficiaries of this work, because we are seeing to our interests and our survival, which automatically means if a thing isn't working, cut it out and move on. You are not here to be anybody's experiment. You are here to prosper and thrive just the way the system prospers and thrives, except their prosperity and their thriving is immediately meant to deprive you of the same opportunity. Stay tuned. Coming up next, The Infectious Myth with David Crowe. Reach me at leadstories@gmail.com, L-E-I-D, stories, plural, @gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege being in your wonderful, wonderful company. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.